Thanks very much for inviting me here. Thanks to David, to the Fields Institute, and to Orca. And I'm going to talk about the case studies of computer algebra applications to engineering problems. And this is a joint work with Matthew Cartmell and David Forehand at the Department of Mechanical Engineering, University of Glasgow. And since I've got an hour, so I can allow myself just a couple of minutes to tell that I'm actually an applied mathematician, and I've been working with engineers for a couple of years already, for I think 5 or 6 years, and doing various computer algebra applications in engineering. And if you wonder about the origin of my accent, then it's Russian. And it's been, over the years, it's been gradually spoiled by British English, maybe partly Scottish. Okay. So that's just an overview of what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the symbolic computational modeling and solving of multi-degree of freedom problems in applied dynamics. And here I refer to modeling as actually the derivation of equations of motion, which represent the physics of the multi-body system. And applied or engineering dynamics actually studies forces and motions in practical physical systems. And vibration analysis here mainly concerns the study of resonances. Structural engineering is a large part of applied dynamics, and it deals with large structures such as bridges, buildings, as well as, for instance, oil and gas platforms. I'll start with a general overview of a large project which is ongoing in the University of Glasgow, where I'm now. And I'll briefly talk about several steps involved in this project. The second part of my talk, I'm going to talk about the dimensional analysis. And as one of the speakers mentioned, I'll probably talk about three examples, which is going to be double pendulum, like just a very simple example, and just to illustrate several steps in the project that we are doing. I will briefly mention the modeling of oil and gas platform. This is something we are doing with an oil company in Aberdeen, Scotland. And as one of the applications of dimension analysis, I'll speak about a scaled-down model of space theater. Okay, so we are concerned with modeling of multi-degree of freedom problems in applied dynamics. Conventionally, such modeling is done using finite element analysis. And this is a very powerful tool, and there are a number of really powerful software programs which model and solve different kind of problems of this type. Finite element analysis provides all those numerical solutions, but it's mostly like a black box calculation. So we have a model as an input, and we have results as an output, numerical results which we can view as a graph and so on. But it's very difficult actually to figure out which nonlinearities, which parameters of the system actually are responsible for certain behavior of the system. The alternative to such modeling will be to use one of those Newtonian or Lagrangian formulation to construct differential or partial differential equations to describe the systems. Usually such approach is rejected because obviously of all these algebraic difficulties and so on. But on the other hand, when students are at the university, they are taught to design things using analysis so that they would understand the physics of what they're doing. And once they go to the real world, they abandon all this and they start doing other things because it's too hard to apply analysis for real problems. And of course, given the powerful computers and computer algebra systems, all those algebraic difficulties can be overcome to a certain extent, of course. Usually when we speak with engineers, we have to explain to them why bother with analytical models. Of course, in this audience, we all know that, yeah, it's very important, but anyway, I'll briefly mention some of the points that we usually tell engineers. First of all those physical phenomena, physical nonlinearities are mutually interactive. And numerical models, they can accommodate such interactions to some extent, but they can really expose these interactions in an interpretable way. Some phenomena are simply lost within the system, and one of the class of such phenomena are parametric or autoparametric vibrations. And of course, we all know that nonlinearities can massively modify the vibration response characteristics of the structures, and that relatively minor design changes can have really major qualitative effects. So with our analytical models, we try to ask questions like, what are the effects of parameter changes? What will be the behavior of the system if we change one component and leave all the others the same? How can important parameters be optimized in the first stages of development? And what is the interaction interdependence between individual parameters? So to summarize, the motivation behind this research is to investigate analytical models and solutions of problems in applied dynamics in a bit to demonstrate the enhanced physical insight that this can provide. So we propose that symbolically computed solutions offer somewhat higher level of appreciation of the physical system than purely numerical results. Now, how we want to do this? We want to develop a suite of interacting computational tools to do the following. We want to sketch a multi-body system consisting of rigid bodies, maybe elastic bodies, within a 3D-like environment. We would like to automatically derive the symbolic equations of motion. And then, if possible, we would like to analyze or maybe solve those equations, find approximate solutions, and so on. Of course, it's a very ambitious project, and we are really in the sort of initial stages of this. This is kind of a schematics of what I just said, and the first the picture here is a double pendulum, and we would like to sketch this into our system in the CAD environment, and then we need to tell the system certain physical and geometrical characteristics about the model, namely what is the number of degree of freedom, what are the physical properties, frames of references, what are external excitations, constraints, and so on. And hopefully, we would like to transfer this information to our multi-body code, which would derive equations of motions for us. Now, in this particular case, there will be just two equations of motion, coupled nonlinear ordinary differential equations. The next step we would generally like to do, we would like to do some kind of pre-analysis. We would like to simplify those equations, to non-dimensionalize them, to do some scaling, term ordering, and so on. I will talk more about non-dimensionalization in the second part of my talk. And once we do this pre-analysis or simplification, we hopefully get some equation of motions which we can try to solve using one of those perturbation methods. And the systems I'm talking about, most of them can be analyzed by the so-called method of multiple scales, and we have a package for doing that in Mathematica, but I believe in Maple there is a package doing a multiple scales analysis as well. And as a result of applying this perturbation solver to our equations, we would like to obtain some useful information about the system, namely, what are the resonance conditions, what are the stability conditions, and so on, and hopefully to get some symbolic solutions or responses of the system. And then the idea is really to go back from what we obtained, to go back to our system and to find and to visualize, to interpret the symbolically obtained results, just looking at the sketch that we provide here. So the first step is this graphical user interface, and we sketch a multi-body system, as I say, in CAD environment, and in this case where you're using OpenCascade, which is object-oriented application framework, which is quite a powerful 3D modeling application development platform, and it's also an open source software. So once we get the sketch and we manage to input all the physical and geometrical characteristics of the system, we would like to derive those equations of motion. And generally there are just two modeling formalisms. One is Newtonian or Eulerian, and another one is Lagrangian formalism. And then there are various interpretations, various models of those algorithms. And we've been using the methods by Robertson, Ashworth, Tarsic, where our system consists of rigid bodies, it is interpreted as a graph where every pivot here is the body, and every vertex is a body, and every edge is actually a joint, because there are different types of joints, how all these bodies can be connected. Again, that's quite a powerful algorithm. It allows one to automatically generate those equations in state space form or in a minimal state space form, so that we will get minimal number of differential equations. It's really applicable to systems involving also gyrostatic as well as rigid bodies, and we are working now on certain modifications allowing introduction of flexible and elastic bodies to the system. If we go back to the double pendulum, then here you see the sketch of the system, and that's the internal representation of it as a graph. The double pendulum here consists of two uniform thin bars of masses M1 and M2 and lengths L1 and L2, and our algorithm in fractions of seconds derives us these equations. Again, these, as I said, nonlinear coupled equations and so on, and we can go on and solve them numerically, but again, our purpose is to try to analyze those equations. So we try to perform the so-called the pre-analysis, or the second step. Yeah? Yes. In general, it's impossible. I agree with that. Also, I didn't mention that I'm talking about open loop system, not closed loop systems. For closed loop systems, this algorithm won't work.
So, for an open loop, you're going to need something like a DAE, a deification of constraints.
Yes, but one of the advantages of this algorithm, I mean, it's very complicated for simple problems. It's kind of the same level of complexity for larger problems. And like for this double pendulum, we need pages and pages of equations and code and so on. But eventually, we get differential equations. I'm not saying that it's working for whatever general class of open loop systems. No, I haven't made this statement, so I'm sorry if you got me wrong. But to a certain class of systems, we can apply that, and we aim at getting the minimum set of equations of motion. Okay. So we get these equations of motion, and we would like to non-dimensionalize those equations, and we would like to order those equations, or to introduce small parameter epsilon to find out the relative magnitude of different terms. Again, as I've mentioned, I'm going to talk about non-dimensionalization in the second part, and if we apply the code that we have to these equations, we get something which doesn't look much simpler, I believe, but anyway, it's got fewer parameters, because some of those, like, we have non-dimensional length, non-dimensional mass, and non-dimensional time here. The next step we do is the term ordering. So we try to reformulate those equations of motion so that the terms are ordered relative to their physical size. This is very difficult to automate because it's mostly based on the physics of the problem, on experience of of a person doing it, and the mathematics here is not at all rigorous. But nevertheless, there are certain rules how you do it, and we try as much as possible to automate this procedure. And again, this is an ongoing work here. For instance, in this particular case, we just expand all this sine and cosine as Taylor series. We assume that the amplitudes are small by introducing this epsilon in front of thetas, and so on. We substitute it back, and now we have the equations of motion with the terms of different magnitude. So hopefully, for different systems that we have, our equations look something like that, which will be, so the vibration problems would look something like that, the second order differential equations with some inertia stiffness terms, and then with some weak nonlinearities, weak parametric excitation, and some external excitation as well. Thanks very much, David. Right. Then we go on and try to solve those equations of motion. And as I've mentioned, we do it here by applying the powerful method of multiple scales, which is a perturbation method, and it can provide approximate analytical solutions to those systems of weakly nonlinear coupled ordinary differential equations. It is applicable to a very wide range of nonlinear systems in engineering and applied physics, not only those that I've mentioned so far. So we've implemented it in Mathematica, and one of the things that I'm sort of proud of, that we've been able to run it on a parallel computer on whatever, up to 16 processors, and trying to solve really large problems. Just a few words about this method. The main idea of this method is to split up as an independent variable t into variables T capital J, and those T capital J's are not exactly independent, but they can be treated as such, and that's one of the tricks here. And then we assume the expansion of the solution in this form, and this expansion has to be uniformly valid. And then we substitute those formulas together with the formulas for derivatives into our original system. And then we recall this assumption of uniform validity. And this condition allows us to remove certain bad terms, the so-called secular terms. And by equating them to zero, we find modulation equations, we find solvability conditions, and so on. So it allows us to solve those problems. Just in very specific case of double pendulum, when it consists of two identical bars, that's the solution up to the zeroth order. Just I don't want to go into higher levels of approximation. Now, one of the industrial applications that we've been doing We've been trying to model an offshore oil and gas platform, and this work has been done for W.S. Atkins company, their office in Aberdeen, Scotland. And the idea was, so that's the kind of platform they have in the sea and the ocean for this huge structures, and they have sometimes they have for oil, and they have massive floors there. And if you forget about all these details, the main structure is just an open box. That's how we try to model it. It's two massive floors connected with several beams, and it's three-dimensional open box, of course. And we've been modeling those beams, sort of taking into account their stiffness in bending and torsion. And these platforms, they can be of different shape, but not different shape. They are more or less of the same shape, but the number of stories and the different ratios of three dimensions, they all depend on specific application. Our main idea, our main goal was to estimate how the whole structure behaves once the low base is subjected to the external excitation. And that's how we modeled it. So that's the three-dimensional box. And if you press it, then you see that those beams, those four beams, they bend. You can see them in this picture. And this structure represents, of course, it's a very simplified model of the whole structure, but it retains a lot of important information about this platform within the lower modes of it. We take into account the kinematics of bent and twisted beams applied to a pair of parallel massive plates, and we arrive at five nonlinear differential equations which contain linear inertia, stiffness terms. It also contains nonlinear inertia terms and so on, and it contains range of force and parametric excitation terms. It's interesting that, and of course we've been doing all that using computer algebra, because I mean these are very large expressions that we have to deal with. Now we have here we have a cross coupling between five generalized coordinates, and we find that the presence of this force and parametric excitation terms has profound consequences for the resonant behavior of the structure. We're now working on considering not five but larger number of lower modes, and to see how the behavior of this structure is actually affected by it. So that's this example. And just to summarize this part, as I said, the motivation here has been really to pursue analytical solutions for problems in applied dynamics, because we believe that potentially they might offer a deeper understanding of the physics. We also think that there is a potential direct link between physics of the problem, or physical quantities of the problem, and the mathematical structure of the analytical solution. We would like to go back from this, looking at the solution, we'd like to go back to the structure of the problem and understand which nonlinearities are actually important in this particular system. And as I've already said, that's an ongoing project, and lots of future work is required to improve things like sketching and equation generation, term ordering, scaling, and of course all this finding approximate solutions, visualization, and so on. Now I'm going to talk now about a dimensional analysis, and that's something I started to do as a kind of a preliminary step in this large project. And I was taught in dimensional analysis some years ago when I was a student at Moscow State University, and I thought that, of course, everybody knows it and everybody is using it and so on. And it is indeed a very common tool in hydrodynamics, but surprisingly in engineering sciences, not so many people use it and not so many people think that it's that important. Anyway, so that's the dimensional analysis. And so what it is, for those of you who maybe haven't heard about it by some chance, I don't know. So it is of course some kind of preliminary tool. Once we do any modeling, we need dimensional analysis really to do some preliminary analysis of the system. It can never give a complete solution to the problem, but it may yield some significant insight into the problem, obviously, and allow some simplifications and so on. On the other hand, it is really elementary algebraic exercise, absolutely elementary algebraic exercise. On the other hand, it is applied to so many areas of science and engineering that I believe we should look at it more closely. And it's probably worth mentioning here that dimensional analysis played a role in the introduction of the universal equilibrium hypothesis put forward by Kolmogorov. And there are many, many other examples of applications of dimensional analysis. And here are some of them, some applications which are, for instance, unit checking to ensure proper numerical procedures. It's checking algebra in expressions. It's, of course, converting units in a systematic fashion, reducing independent parameters, and determining governing independent parameters. It is so-called non-dimensionalization of differential and algebraic equations. It's very useful in laboratory results and also in deriving the scaled-down models in different areas. Now, so you might say, so why it is really that important? Why, I mean, if it's that elementary mathematics, why we need an automated package for it, which I believe we do? So most application packages, however sophisticated they are, they essentially dimensionless, and they don't include units as integral parts of the computation procedure. They do not check dimensional homogeneity of expressions, or they do not convert units automatically. So basically, they hold engineer or practitioner responsible for selecting the unit and making sure their use is consistent. And one of the infamous examples of this is the following. It's this 125 million NASA's Mars Climate Orbiter disappeared into the Martian atmosphere in 1999 simply because engineers failed to make a simple conversion from English to metric units and then navigation calculations. And this just happened just recently, just 3 years ago. Of course, they haven't done this. They wouldn't have done this mistake if they were using computer algebra.
They would have made a bigger mistake.
Well, something else. Yeah. Anyway, for instance, MAPLE has a very comprehensive, very good units environment package, and Maxima has a package demand which also implements various other functions for automatic dimension analysis in addition to conversion of units. Also in various programming languages in C and C++, there have been proposals to incorporate units into the language to allow this automatic checking for dimensional consistency, homogeneity, and units conversion. And there are standalone systems like Aladdin, for example, which work with dimensional variables in specific areas of application. Well, here I have to show this, although I know this workshop is sponsored by MAPLE, but And we had this discussion about it yesterday, but I still believe that when a naive user, of course there are no naive users in this audience, but if a naive user tries to add kilograms and meters, a system should warn the user that this is not possible. And both Mathematica and Maple, that's Maple 8, and I just checked it 2 days ago, they go on. Of course, they don't evaluate the expression, but I still believe that the system should warn the user that this is not possible. And this is something which has this name, dimensional homogeneity, and that's the whole of mathematics associated with physical and engineering sciences. It rests on it, and it's a very simple principle that the dimensional formula consists of magnitudes which have identical dimensions, something we all know, of course. And this is something, this is a condition for an algebraic relation to have physical significance. So basically, if we try to add to x, x, and y, we have to make sure, and if these are physical quantities, that they have the same dimensions. And of course, a relation may be dimensionally homogeneous, but wrong in other respects. But a relation which is not dimensionally homogeneous cannot have any physical meaning at all. So checking relations for dimensional homogeneity while modeling should be done automatically by the system, I think. And in particular, it is important for complex problems containing hundreds of parameters, when this checking is becoming increasingly important. So let me talk a little bit about non-dimensionalization. Again, this is non-dimensionalization is a tool which simplifies equations, simplifies differential and algebraic equations. It allows us to decrease number of parameters, to compare relative magnitudes of term, because when we say that the term is small doesn't mean anything, we have to compare it with the term of the same dimension, and then we can decide whether it's a small or large term. Non-dimensionalization allows us to introduce scalings, and this is very important in design, designing scaled-down models of physical problems. There are also so-called named dimensionless parameters, which are named after scientists who first discovered them. And non-dimensionalization is all based on so-called Pi theorem, or Buckingham Pi theorem, which is the main theorem here. And it usually reduces the number of essentially independent variables in the problem. So I'll just briefly mention this Pi theorem. It's